Good morning.
Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the second great vow, which is delusions are inexhaustible and I vow to put an end to them. You know, it struck me that if you think about it, or when I thought about it originally, these vows are very ambitious. To put an end to suffering, and now to put an end to delusions. But the spirit of these vows is to do the best we can. Not to beat ourselves up because we always fall short. So what are delusions? One way to define it is that they are distorted ways of looking at ourselves, at others, and at the world. And delusions are always connected to very strong feelings. Feelings like anxiety, fear, anger, jealousy, desire, depression, and the list goes on. Some of the classic delusions in Buddhism are pride, ignorance, doubt, jealousy, laziness, emotions around sexual desire, loneliness, and bruised ego arriving because of criticism. The most fundamental delusion, is that all things are separate from each other. So what is the root of delusion? And Sun San Nim, a Korean Zen master from Providence, Rhode Island, used to always say, mind makes. So in a sense, which means that the world is a reflection of what we think. If we have a person who thinks, I am not good enough, they may try to compensate in a variety of ways. You know, the classic is to consume a lot or create a lot of money, to buy big cars, fame, anything that's possible to elevate themselves because they don't think that they're good enough. But what happens if we perceive somebody else as having more than us? That hits us right in the heart of our suffering. And so, you know, we may become jealous, filled with anger, desire, and anxiety, etc. The bottom line is, mind makes. Now, you know, the ideas that the mind creates, we take as true. It's truth for us. And we all know that it's very difficult to talk with somebody who has the truth. I'm going to read a lighthearted story, but I think in its own simple way points to this. Now, there's a poem and there's this story which I get from Aguko Roshi at ZCLA. So I just want to credit the source. So this is the story. I was once asked to look after a friend's pet rat while she was away for business for several weeks. So, you know, I wanted to be a good friend, so I said, sure, I'll do it. Now, I didn't really dislike Joe, and that was the name of the rat, but I didn't really want to get too close to him either. After all, he was a rat. All my associations with rats were negative. Rats were bad. They carried disease. They could attack people in hordes, like in science fiction movies. Picture rats jumping into the water from a sinking ship. Saying to someone, you are a rat. People are terrified of rats. But I'm a man of my word, so I watched him as time passed, and I got to know Joe a little better. I came to find him entirely adorable. He had a strokeable tummy, bright eyes, sensitive whiskers, and he was actually very intelligent and inquisitive, brave and friendly. He hung out under my desk in San Francisco in one of those plastic balls. And one day, when I was deeply engrossed in work, he chewed a hole through my pants. And to this day, I still look at that hole with affection. Mind makes. Now, living in the world of our own delusions, our self-made delusions, we wind up lost. We don't know who we are. So the following poem that I'm going to read is named Loss. And it's a retelling of a conversation between a Northwestern Native American elder and a youth who asks him, "What do I do when I'm lost in the forest?" And so this is a poem expressing his answer. "Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger. Must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers, 'I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here.' No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. Stand still. The forest knows. Forest knows where you are, and you must let it find you." The way that I understand this is when he says, stand still means be silent in your mind. Be there with a quiet mind, or as we say in Zen, an empty mind. Wherever you are is called here. Right here, present moment is here. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers, "I have made this place around you." Listen. Don't think. Listen. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying here. If you get lost in your thinking, you can come back to this present moment, back to this forest. This poem is about surrender, about letting the mind be still and becoming the forest itself. The forest breathes, so listen. We don't find our way by thinking. We do so by listening. Truly listening requires listening with a mind that doesn't know. This kind of listening is what we call in Zen bearing witness. Listening in this way is at the heart of putting an end to delusion, seeing into the nature of mind. So we bear witness to our minds. We listen to our minds. The following is an obituary for a lady named Helen Bamber, who died at age 89. And so part of the obituary says, "A longtime activist for torture and trauma survivors. Raised by her father, a Holocaust survivor, she received a steady stream of unfiltered Holocaust stories from childhood and became for 70 consecutive years a key figure in the care of Holocaust survivors and trauma survivors." Her obituary also noted, "Bamber had no formal training in psychology or social work, but she was brilliant at listening. She understood that recovery begins with someone willing to be a witness to another's suffering." Right? So the key here is listening. Learn how to listen to ourselves. Learn how to listen to the trouble that our mind creates. So in delusion, we lose touch with who we are. We get lost in the stories that our minds create. And these delusions are the heart of suffering. To work with our delusions, we must penetrate the very mind responsible for them. Through Zazen, guidance, and the support of the Sangha, we can learn to truly listen, to bear witness to the mind that makes. Interestingly, this vow is directly related to the first vow, because to truly serve others, the more we free ourselves from delusion, the better servants we will be. And one final note. The mind is the mind, right? It's a thinking machine. So the work of putting an end to delusion continues for a lifetime. It never ends, just like the mind never stops thinking. But we can just let it think, notice what that creates, right? Thinking produces a thought, and so you get on a roll, and there it goes, the delusion. So, again, the spirit of these vows is to do the best we can over and over and over again, but without getting discouraged because we fall short each time. Thanks.